Enter the Batmail Experience.
Batmail Experience. Batmail Experience. Batmail Experience. Experience.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Experience, presented by DraftKings. Today, the mid-season awards for the PGA Tour. We'll be talking through some of our favorite moments from the season to date. When I talk about the season, I'm talking about from the Safeway until now. You know, not just the calendar year, the entire season. That's what I mean. We're probably even over mid-season by this point. Remember to smash the like button for the episode. And in the comment section, you tell me who the player of the year so far is in your mind. And you can have the weirdest criteria ever for it if you really want to. But that's just the parameters that I'm going to set. Interpret that any way that you will. Jeff Feinberg is in studio with me. You can break down all of these players and their statistics by going to fantasynational.com/mayo. Get you 20% off for all the best tools, all of the best stats, customizable stats in the biz, if that's the way that you want to go. And I didn't really set an outline for this. And you can jog it all from memory of what you want to talk about. What do you remember the most from the PGA Tour this season? What's the one thing that stands out to you? Do you think?
I think, three things.
Okay.
Well, does Tiger's crash count?
No. I guess we can get to that.
No, listen, it's been big. Everyone has kind of had a headline, but okay. Spieth, like, and Tiger pretty much from Torrey Pines on. The whole Bryson, like, Bay Hill drive, like, fingers in the air.
I was going to say that is the single most memorable moment from the season
so far. I got one
so
more.
Far. Can I try to guess it?
Yeah. Might not.
Is it, like, really impactful to you? Or yeah, is it
I
like
think it was impactful.
Was it like Tony Finau, like, losing in a playoff?
No, but that's when the dark clouds came in as I projected they would for our winning ways, or at least mine. But nope.
Ricky being terrible?
No.
Hit me.
The whole just like Reed cheating.
Oh, I yeah. Was, I forgot about that.
There have been a lot of things. Like Rory's kind of disappeared from forgetting winning, like this preeminent contender. The whole Justin Thomas slur, family deaths.
Totally forgot about that too.
Yeah, listen, you're really busy. I thought about this a little. Okay.
I appreciate you doing the legwork on this one.
I don't have a player of the year, though. Like, that's where I copped out because, like, I think there's nobody.
I think
like, Justin Thomas gets it by default out of Decky. Like,
no, I think there is a very clear player
Stuart
of the
Sink,
year.
Jordan Spieth, who?
Well, there's only two players who have won twice on the PGA
so
Tour.
So, Stuart Sink.
It's Stuart Sink. And who's the other guy? Who's
Justin Thomas?
No. The player of the year is a major.
In this year?
In this season, which is what we go by. You won the U.S. Open.
Okay.
Bryson is the player of the year.
I wasn't including you, even though Safeway, I wasn't thinking the majors as part of that. But okay, that's totally fair. Bryson. Everyone has kind of done something really special except
Rory.
Rory. Everyone has done something really special. Even Brooks found a way to be special for 4 days. Or an afternoon.
Do you think that
50 to 1?
55 to 1. Do you think that sucked out all of our like good gambling mo?
No,
like,
I told you I got burger the next week.
I had Morikawa at the WGC at a big number too. But it feels like Morikawa was winning going into Sunday, going to the WGC, and he held on. Like he played really well and held off Billy Ho. And Brooks ended up coming second that week at the WGC. But it felt like I went through the swing season and I had a guy inside the top five going into Sunday, like 2 or 3 shots off or less every single week, and none of them closed. They all had terrible runs. Aaron Wise, especially, who Hovland just played better than him at Mayakoba, and that would have been a big one for me if he had hit the outright. He came second and cashed the each way. But it felt like everything went so right for Brooks in Phoenix on Sunday. Because it didn't even really happen until the back nine. And then all of a sudden, he just kind of storms the leaderboard. He ends up winning. And then every single...
But who shat the bed there? Like a couple guys, Xander, like shat the bed. And I think like even Brooks, like, no, I looked at the leaderboard.
It was
James like,
Hahn. Hahn got off to the hot start.
Sorry.
And he was playing with Hahn.
And I think I said that the morning after, where once Brooks saw that the guy he's playing with was the leader, it created this, no, now I can just match this. Like, let me just hunt you down in a sense. And that, I know that's a simplistic way of looking at it, but hey, I don't know. That works. Listen, it's been a lot has happened, even though like a little. We could go real deep. Like, I could talk about the fact that we went through like a three-run, like a little period where Sam Burns had Sunday leads at Farmers and Riviera.
Yeah.
And even had like a first-round lead in Phoenix. I don't know. For me, the darkest moment of the season, if we're not including Tiger's crash, was, listen, I guess it all comes full circle because Max gave Finau the opportunity for the playoff. But like on the telecast, I thought I had that one off the tee in the playoff. And Homa got out of there and saved his par.
Yeah, he was right
up. It was
a
short par four. So he saving the par wasn't impossible, but I don't know. But that's just not like a personal thing. Even like if we're going back to Safeway, like even losing to Streb in a playoff with Kisner really pissed me off.
That was RSM.
So that's like, so the two playoff losses pissed me off more than the bets that I won, I guess. But the losses stick with you more. But every big money player had something to talk about. I mean, if we're including that season from Dustin getting the Masters. Well, I guess Rahm still didn't really, has been maybe a disappointment.
Rahm
equipment really, change, though.
But he equipment hasn't really change? Been a disappointment. He just hasn't won.
Okay, fine.
But it's like Rory has felt very disappointing just because he has not played well. Rahm plays well every single week. Yeah, I think he has a top 10 in every tournament.
Okay, so you're right. That's what Rory used to be.
Yes.
And that's like, yes, that's why Rahm won't get an odds bump that we are going to see Rory maybe get, although I don't think we'll get it for Kiawah Island, but that's not what this is about. Yeah, everyone sort of showed up. They had a big moment, right?
I think so.
I'm trying, like, the good, we finally got to a bit of a place where, I don't, what am I trying to say? Like, we had, I would still say Kokrak was the biggest win in a, like, the longest odds in a strong field. And it depends how you want to rate that Heritage field, because Sink cracked triple digits.
Yeah, Sink cracked, double digits or triple digits twice in both of his wins, I think.
Yes, but that first win, like we were in a rut, like winner, like when strong fields got together, we didn't really break out of it outside of Kokrak. I don't know. I got a lot of great memories. Cantlay outdueling like JT and Rahm in Sherwood at the Zozo.
Yeah,
like that counts. Who English finally got off the mat?
Who did we have at Zozo? Fucking Henley.
I had Henley.
And he was in the final group and just pissed it all away.
All a blur. I don't know.
I've had some big numbers just like, and this is the reason that why they're big numbers, but like Lashley at Pebble Beach was just like, oh man, remember he took the triple?
I guess, yeah. What would be the biggest surprise for you? Part of me wants to say like Billy Ho match play, but I guess match play like can lead to it. Hideki, you could argue that was a bit of, you know, let me ask you this. Of all the guys that have won the Masters recently that like you can make those like trends that really help you eliminate like such a large percentage of the field, like lead up form, which we've kind of done in the year.
But which would have automatically crossed Hideki off.
Yeah, Hideki, like an all past major Masters winner since we've sort of done this. The guy won the Masters, even if you didn't bet it. And you're like forgetting the Dustin being chalk, like super chalk. It's like, yeah, that all kind of made sense. Even Sergio, even Reed. This Hideki win, yeah, like I kind of picked on him for not contending enough, like a Xander, like a Finau, despite them not winning. That win really like didn't, it really, he checked no boxes other than the very in-depth niche fantasy national Southeast stat or something. No, what was it?
It was the putting on pure bent grass greens. Where I mean, Hideki's irons have been really good throughout the course of the year. When you go back and look at it, I bet him the week before and made the case for him at Valero based on a lot of this stuff. Like, hey, if he can just flip the putter here, he's playing well enough to win. His driving had been really bad, and spoiler alert, his driving wasn't good at the Masters, but he got everything up and down. The short game has always been good. And when people talk about short game, you know, we like to break it up into around the green and putting. And his short game was good enough that he was giving himself these very makeable par putts, and he just wasn't making them. Yeah. But when you looked at like the pure fast bent grass, like where he won at Memorial would be a very good comp to the greens that you see at Augusta National, especially this time of year when they were running the way that they would normally run, not like we saw in November when Dustin ended up winning, when it was a bit slower, a bit softer, and a bit more receptive, which is how Hideki kind of won the Masters in the same way, because he came out after that rain delay and was like 7 under in 8 holes or whatever it was. He just went at every pin. You couldn't do that the rest of the week. So he was just getting it up and down. Very similar. His win at the Masters was done in a very similar fashion with how Reed won at Torrey. Where Reed wasn't like, Reed wasn't awesome at Torrey, but every time that he missed a fairway and he had to grind it out, he did. He got it to like 5 feet and he made every 5 foot putt. And that's essentially what Hideki did all week at the Masters. So it's not surprising to see Hideki win. You know he's that level of player. No. There was a reason we had bet him at the previous four Masters. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it really threw off a lot of the trends and like that, and which just kind of goes to show, well, it's fun to write about. It's fun to talk about. When you talk about trends in particular at a particular event, they don't really mean anything unless it happens, and it just adds to the trend some more. But I don't know. They're not predictive in any sort of way. Do you find that?
No, not at all. In fact, I think because I credit to, you know, getting a lot of air in the tires because he had that great Stuart Sink connection, Dave Tindall. He's the one that does that great 10-year trends article that it pointed to two guys that missed the cut this year.
Yeah, shit happens.
It pointed to like Im and Berger. Like, yeah, in terms of, I guess, lead up. And what you have already done, past Masters experience. So in that sense, I don't know. I sort of ran a couple things in my head. Like, I think I'll look back at the year and remember the 2 weeks that, like, Westwood ran super hot and too bad he couldn't get a win for him. But I don't know. What sticks out to you?
I'm just trying to think of what was – like, it's funny because both Masters, because we've had two Masters in this time frame, really uneventful and not super fun to watch, which is really strange because Dustin kind of ran away with November, and Dustin's had a whole bunch of wins like that, that when he's winning, it's like, it's game over. Yeah. Like, it's not fun to watch in the slightest because he's winning by so much. And yeah, Cam Smith made it interesting. I.e. he got it within 4 strokes on Sunday, and that was the closest anyone got to him. And then even the Hideki thing, like, it was in doubt a little bit, I guess, with 3 holes to go. And then the moment it got close, Xander put it in the water.
And that was the end. It didn't last 5 minutes.
No, and like, it was just a very uneventful. I would say that the most, and maybe because I had skin in the game on it, you won it. I had the guy who came in second. But the most impressive performance I've seen so far this season was Bryson at the U.S. Open. Like, there's so much being made about Bryson has solved golf. He has figured it out. And it only really seems to happen with Bryson at these hard, longer courses. Now, he won in Detroit. That was last season. But these hard, longer courses that play super fast, super tough, and have super long rough. That is the advantage he has over the entire field. I thought Wolf was going to hold on to his 54-hole lead. He did not. Mm. But Bryson played so well. He was the only guy that finished under par. And he finished like 5 under. Like, that is a fucking performance.
Yeah. And as we sort of spoke about a few times, Bryson has a very volatile ceiling, but I'll go back on it. And I've already started staring at, like, if you make me pick a super elite for Kiowa, I don't care. Like, I feel like once you start knocking on the door, you feel silly, like, walking away. Like, you're just, I'm pot committed to him being able to do everything.
I agree, because he's also probably the most likely of the top 10 guys to miss the cut.
Yeah,
too.
I agree. And as you kind of said it, and other people said it, like, leading into Masters Week, listen, they don't pay me, like, double if he wins by, like, my 12-1 doesn't become 24-1 if he wins by more than 3 strokes. But, I'm a believer he could do everything. I actually think there was a corny video released today for Bryson lovers and haters. I don't know when you're even watching this, but he's still dropping lacking self-aware corny videos. I'm all about it. I drink that Bryson Kool-Aid so hard. I don't know. Since Christmas, looking at like our fantasy draft stats from our pool with Rick.
Yeah.
JT and Spieth have made the most money.
Really?
Unless you think I'm forgetting someone, but I'm staring at it right now. They're the only guys over $3 million. JT 3.6 and Spieth, who was a 6th round pick at $3.5 million.
Do you have Spieth?
No, Rick.
Oh, Rick's
winning.
Smart.
sixth round.
I would say that besides Bryson.
Do you know who Rick took in the fifth?
I have no idea.
I'm not going to make fun of this because he took Zalatoris in the fourth and Spieth in the sixth.
Who does he have in the fifth?
I think he's won the least money in the whole pool. I was going to say. Rick is still winning.
Does he have Ricky?
No.
I have Bubba, who's been just a train wreck.
The least money in the whole pool, unfortunately, is Sky because he is Tiger. Doc Redman, fifth round.
Poor Doc, man. that guy's career went off the rails. Everything that like Burns and Max Homa have achieved. That's where we thought that Doc Redman was going to be coming into
Burns
this year.
And Max Homa.
Like Homa obviously achieved way more because he won at Riviera. But like Burns has been in contention. Now he's kind of faltered a little bit over the past few months or so. But like we thought that Redman was kind of in that tier of guys ready to make a leap and play with some of the big boys in the bigger tournaments, not just kind of contend at Wyndham or Detroit or those kind of places. But he's just gone completely the other way.
And I know it's a conversation we have often, like maybe anytime we like talk about golf in a longer range format, Pat, but I almost want one of the smart model guys to model like an odds chart of like the super, five or six kids and like the fluctuation in odds that we see with Colin and Victor and Scheffler and M. And I guess, do we want to say Zalatoris and Neiman? Like, wouldn't it be super, like, the trajectory on, like, how, like, the dips, and then it'll go back up, and then it'll dip again, and it'll go back up. So much fun, except Colin is obviously, like, taking his place.
Yeah, but he even dips, too, at the same time.
No, but I think now, like, I think if you're looking, I don't think you're going to get the Masters number at the PGA. Now, granted, a PGA championship, he's a defending champion, and we would argue, I would at least argue, that sort of event where players can get taken out of it because of how penal, like, Kiawa Island can play, those type of events, to me, suit Colin way more than the Masters.
I would agree because he tends to keep himself out of a lot of trouble a lot of the times. I'm just looking at the odds for it right now. I've never seen a 36-1 on this site, but that's what Patrick Reed is right now. Just
seems like a fine bet.
See, it does seem like a fine bet, especially with going back and looking at last time. I have no idea if there's going to be a ton of correlation between 2012 and the leaderboard versus 10 years
this
later.
This is probably the worst major to happen right now if you were hoping for a Rory drift, this location.
Agreed. Rory is currently 18-1. And it's the same odds as Brooks. And Morikawa is 20. But Morikawa has separated himself from the rest of those guys.
As he should.
But for the
odds winning equity standpoint, yeah,
they finally caught up. Yeah. But it's funny because Hovland is more I mean, he hasn't been, but even like his Masters, where it was.
Yeah. Chippins,
quadruple
doubles.
Bogey. Birdie, 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 double bogey, birdie, birdie, chip double in. Bogey. But he tends to be a bit more consistent across the board than Morikawa is. But Morikawa he won a PGA championship, he won a WGC. But he's winning big events.
But sort of to PGA, and I'm not taking anything from Morikawa, you have sort of lit this lamp in my head that like Victor and Rory do have like very similar skill sets. And I think winning here makes a lot of sense for Victor and winning by a touchdown.
I could see it too because we've seen like that type of player win PGA champ. We just saw it for one thing. But like the up-and-comer who's really good, been good for like a year, year and a half, and like playing at elite level. Remember when Jason Day won? He's like, is Jason Day ever going to win? Like he's contended in some of these things before. Then all of a sudden, boom, he breaks through at a Pete Dye course at Whistling Straits.
Justin Thomas.
Justin Thomas,
like,
same way.
50-1, 40, 50-1.
Was he really?
Yeah, I think.
Hovland's still 33. So the funny thing is, when we like, how would you rank those guys? So
I hate, I like them all. It's like you're going to ask me to rank quarterbacks for the draft.
Well, you got to do it. We're here doing it. Yeah. So you have Morikawa.
He's default one.
So Morikawa, let's make the short list of guys. So Morikawa, Vic, Wolf,
Will
Z, Scheffler. Is there anyone we're missing from that?
Some people would argue for Neiman, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Neiman, yeah.
Like, I don't.
Yeah, no, I would 100% put Neiman on that list. Siwoo? Does he still qualify? He's still like the same age as these guys.
He just feels so much older.
So does M, though. M feels so much older, and I think that M might be the youngest of this bunch still. I think he's like 20 or 21 or something like that. Does Bobby Mack count?
No.
He's just not at their level. But is that because we don't see him enough?
Isn't he not considerably younger?
Robert McIntyre?
Yeah. Like, those guys at least did, outside of air, like, those guys did school. Like, I feel like Bobby Mack would be in college right now if that's what he wanted to be doing.
Bobby Mack is 24.
Oh, he's old. He's a couple years.
He's around, like, they're saying, because I think Morikawa is 24.
He is in that group, then.
So you have Bobby Mack is in that group. Siwoo would be in that group, age-wise, at least. Although Kim has far more experience. He's also won on tour this year. That was one of the better Sundays on tour. That was a highly competitive Sunday at the Amex. Answer was in it. Finau made his run. Siwoo Kim. And that was like a legitimate out-dueling. Like, Finau didn't play poorly. Kim played awesome. Remember Cantlay made that huge run too from way back in the pack? So that was a fun one. But yeah, so you have Morikawa, Vic, Wolf, Im, Zalatoris, Scheffler, and Neiman. We'll put all those guys into a bucket. Morikawa's one, right? Just because he's won four times on tour, three times in the last year, a major, a WGC.
Memorial.
He won the work.
Half
Memorial. He won the work.
Day. The course.
And that was the streak where Vic had the three consecutive tournaments where he led everyone tee to green and then couldn't close, and he finally won at Mayakoba. I would say that Vic is number two.
Vic gets my number two. Even though you could start making arguments, and there's probably metrics that could argue it the other way.
I think if you wanted to look at pure metrics based on what they've done, Zalatoris probably ranks out the best. And maybe it's just too short of a sample to kind of go all in on him. But like, Wolf is by far the most up and down. He has two top fives at majors. He's won an event on tour. He has a whole, I think he has two more second place finishes at other events. Yet he went through this weird thing and he's been bad ever since the quote-unquote injury, and we still don't even know what
and
it
he's,
was.
And he's definitely, like, you look at PG, like, he is deep man on the totem pole, I assume.
Oh,
odds-wise.
Yeah. I would say that he's – I have a bet on Robert McIntyre to win the PGA Championship at, like, 250-1 from before.
What's
the season.
He now, 100?
He is. No, he's 125-1 right now. Wolf is still 80-1. But I bet you week of, that's, like, more than double.
Shoot. Do we have bad Woodland bets?
We have the U.S. Open.
Okay. Why did I think Kiawa?
The only one I have for Kiawa is Robert McIntyre as a future. I didn't play that many futures this year. So Wolf is like, he's so hard to rank amongst these guys. Because when you look at him, like, Scheffler is a better player week to week. Zalatoris is a better player week to week. Neiman is most, I would probably have Neiman as third of these guys. Neiman's been around a long time. He has the win. He's been very competitive in very strong, like, difficult fields at the same time. And I like his play in the elements, too. But then we're overlooking Sungjae at the same time. Like,
yeah. Why Sungjae and Neiman, you could argue... What?
3-4. You could put him at number two over Vic. He's done more. He's come second at the Masters.
But you'd have Willie Z over Scheffler?
I think I would.
Because I feel like it's been very similar. But, like, Willie Z's, like, a whole different level, I guess.
Willie Z...
Like, Scheffler was, like, a run of top 20s, and Willie Z was just like, no, did that, but top 10 to everything.
Like, I think the biggest difference, if you, like, break them down statistically, is Zalatoris's irons are just way better. Like, Scheffler's really good off the tee. He can have good irons, but he hasn't done it at the same consistent pace. Basically, since Zalatoris started playing for his card, wherever the hell it was, and, like... I guess he top 10 at the U.S. Open, and then from there he just continued to top 10 and build up all these points and give him the special memberships. But he still can't get into tournaments without a sponsor's exemption.
He doesn't have a FedEx Cup point, apparently.
But if they turned on the switch and he did, let's say he won a tournament, and then he got his full-time membership and he got all those retroactive points, he'd be like top 10 in the FedEx Cup standings.
But okay, but I guess the better question is, are we doing this today, or should we rank them, like, who would you rather for the next, like, 8 years?
Let's say 5 years.
5 years.
Or even trick it down to that, 3 years, because I think the timelines on these guys are way different, right?
And I would still agree with our 1-2.
I think that Vic has more upside than Morikawa long-term.
Yes.
I've always kind of said that Morikawa reminds me of Stenson. Just the way that he's fairways and all irons. And will he continue to be Justin Thomas with his irons, like, for the course of his career? Maybe. I mean, that's all he's shown us.
I don't know. So if he regresses to being Webb Simpson, it's still pretty freaking good.
It is, but like, that takes him, like, we haven't seen Vic's upside. Vic, And maybe Morikawa gets better around the greens. Maybe he gets better on the greens.
No, what we haven't seen yet from Vic.
Vic is going on the Rory and Dustin kind of game plan of earlier in the career. You see it all.
You see it
but
all.
But it's not all there yet.
No, and like if you take the whole week, like if you stare at the weeks as a whole, like there are so many circles, but there are tons of squares. Like the bad hasn't really been cleaned up yet, but you see like the ceiling poking through. It's like that quarterback that you see like sideways, flick the wrist, like moving backwards, pressure in his face.
So what you're saying is, Vic is Josh Allen.
Sure. Like, yeah. And then you're like, well, like it's coming. And then like the next, you see it getting cleaned up. We're cleaning up those mistakes. We're not playing our way out of tournament. Like the week he plays clean
it's
to
over.
Go with the insanity. Like you said, it's going to be old-time Rory. Touchdown victories.
And this is something we saw with Dustin very early on in his career where, you know, he would get these wins at sort of like lesser events, and then he was kind of building up to the bigger events. But like his short game was terrible. He couldn't putt. Yeah. And then over the course of 5 years, he cleaned it all up, and he became the best player in the world. And then when he wasn't winning majors every single time, which he wasn't, it was like, what's going on here? Like, why can't he have the big win?
Just took a lot more base camping, as they like to call it.
And listen, for some, it's so good for Morikawa, and I think in his future, that he got it out of the way so early. Like, all the pressure off for the rest of his career is done. Yeah. He's never going to be the guy who hasn't won a major. Just that isn't going to be never a part of his narrative, where it dogged, I mean, it still dogs Westwood to this day. It dogged Phil. It dogged Sergio. And we're not even counting the guys that never did get, I mean, Westwood still never got his, probably will never end up getting his unless he comes through. Yeah. This seems like the year that he was ever able to do it would be him. But he's been a fun story. We're all trying to eat better, but healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has amazing flavors you love, but without all the bad stuff. 0 grams of sugar, 13, 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories per serving, too. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. And we've got exciting news. Magic Spoon has released a super delicious new flavor, Birthday Cake. Birthday Cake Magic Spoon will be available in a special 5-pack for a limited time only. So get it while you can. Or just build your own box. Available flavors include coca, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, and cinnamon. I would just get all of the fruity kind. I love the fruity Magic Spoon. It's great. And if you're listening from Canada, where I am, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. So go to magicspoon.com/mayo to grab the new limited edition birthday cake or a custom bundle of cereal to try today. And be sure to use our code, promo code MAYO, at checkout to save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the US or Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout. And Magic Spoon's so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/mayo and use code MAYO, that's M-A-Y-O, to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. One of the worst things about getting older is, well, responsibility is the absolute single worst thing about getting older. But a close second is having a few adult beverages, maybe going a bit late into the night than the next morning. Not great. So, toast. Before you drink gummies are delicious, candy-quality gummy bears, except unlike other gummies, these gummies are designed to restore key nutrients and support your liver so you can celebrate and still feel great. Before you drink gummies, taste great. Toast. Partnered with a premier American candy maker to make them, and it shows because these gummies are as tasty as they are effective. Before You Drink gummies are based on the latest science and powered by natural ingredients like milk thistle and matcha green tea. Toast partnered with Dr. Joris Verster, the founder of the Alcohol Hangover Research Group and longtime clinical researcher, to develop their proprietary formula using only the best science-backed ingredients. Before You Drink gummies are the gummy bear snack that's got your back. Every order ships free, and if you don't love them, they'll refund you, no questions asked. So before you go for your next round of golf with the guys or have a few beers while watching the game, go to alwaystoast.com, alwaystoast.com, and use promo code MAYO for 20% off. That's what I kind of want to pivot to is who have been the most fun story? Like, because we watch this week in and week out. Not every tournament is the Masters. Not every tournament is a WGC. Who has impressed you the most? And I think I know your answer to this question.
Well, like, does Stewart Cink count? Like, that's not
Yeah, no, Stewart Cink would be up there. Just of players who, because I talk about, like, Burns and Homa. I think that they would qualify for this sort of, like, level. It's got to be Chris Kirk, right?
Oh, Chris Kirk. He's like a savior. And I swear, I was on this, like, I was part of, like, no, right away, every week, like, prop this guy. Prop this guy. Not hitting winners, and I'm not winning all my bets, my money back, because
but you're not
I, don't,
losing as
I don't bet enough on props. And some would say, no, those are the smarter monies, but I don't like 3.5, 4-1, Pat. I like chasing 50-1.
Yeah, that's why we lose money.
That's why
betting.
We do this show. But yeah, no, Chris Kirk has been amazing. And to your point, like, of like, yes, like, to the mainstream and bigger golf audience, Spieth is like the comeback story. But to a lot of fans of our show, like the super niche golf crowd, like the Chris Kirk comeback, man, we haven't been able to top it off with a win, but that has been like out of this world. Fantastic.
So
I'm here for all of it in waves.
I will give you the other guy too, is Cameron Tringale.
Yeah.
Like, he showed it. He was sort of like the stat model guy, but he's actually kind of putting it together now. I don't know if it's going to result in the win. Those guys should have been the team at the Zurich Classic. Put their two skill sets together and see how they go. But Stewart Cink's two wins really feel like Brendan Todd's two wins.
Yeah, sure. Like, just an unconscious, but they were separated. Todd's were back to back, so it felt more like a blip. This guy did it separately, and the finishes have been consistent, and he like T15 at the Masters. Feels a lot better. I'm not going to lie. So he did not beat a field with Dustin Johnson in it. I don't care what Dustin Johnson's level of play is. Kevin Na's never even beaten a field that Dustin Johnson entered. I don't know that to be fact. I'm like going to go backwards there,
now
too.
Now I'm trying to think. Shriners, no. Greenbrier, no. Colonial, no. He has one other one.
I can't remember
what it is. Sony, no. But no, he's never beat Dustin Johnson. Maybe like back in the day when he got his first win. But of his four wins in the past 3 years, the answer is a big no.
You know what? I mean, we're talking about most, like, it's nicest to see. I know me and you have joked that we're getting a bit of fatigue, and maybe that's why I didn't bet him or even look at betting him last week, and he gave a scare, even though it kind of always goes the same way. The Corey Conner's like getting this like real notoriety now. Well, now he's becoming a guy.
Well, let's call it this. I think this is a good way to parse it. I wrote down mid Carters on my.
Oh, you have Conner's there?
No, I was gonna say who is the intercontinental champion of the PGA Tour right now? It might be Corey Conner's.
Corey Conner's, Matthew Fitzpatrick, like guys that I'm really.
Fitzpatrick's in a higher.
Okay, you're probably right.
He's a guy who gets like a WWF like heavyweight title shot and gets
like squashed. On Raw though.
Yeah.
On Raw. He's like going he's the to main pay-per-view. Event of Raw. Yeah. Pay-per-view. Yeah. Main event on Raw, title shot. Matthew Fitzpatrick's gotten a few of those, and they ended poorly.
Yeah, he's like Fleetwood. Well, no, Fleetwood could have been like the backlash sorry, pay-per-view now if you, at one
point. I thought we're doing the most excited. In a moment, we'll do our most disappointed. Save that name for a couple minutes.
But it feels like, although his play has been better than... Actually, it's been right around the same. He's been playing better than Kirk and Tringale. But I do consider Conner's as a part of those guys rather than even the Fitzpatricks
you're right.
and Fleetwoods.
You're
and,
right.
Like, that is probably next fair. Level up.
And it's great to see like Corey Conner's... I know it's like far away, but he never...
You know what they need to do? Tommy Fleetwood needs to team up with Matthew Fitzpatrick. They need to become a tag team like The Undertaker and Kane. Like, this is how we're going to use you. Like, you guys could be in, like, title contention here, but just be a tag team for a bit.
Okay, but maybe it could be like the Quebecers, who started as a face team, and then they really started to gain people when they went heel. They're better as heels.
Which one is Jacques Rougeau?
I don't know. They have Jacques and Raymond.
The Quebecers. Yet they still had the Mountie music?
Yeah.
We're the Mounties.
So Conner's, yeah. I mean, I like that he's getting so comfortable. He's not Jordan. Like, I'm not comparing it to Spieth, but like all these guys acknowledge, like, content getting comfortable with late Sunday tea times is like a thing.
Yeah.
Even when Gim got there for the first time, I don't even remember the event.
It was the players.
He said, oh, that's almost unfair. Like, wow. The
same thing happened to Kirk.
But he almost joked, like, listen, I don't know how I'm here, but I'm here. And I only hope next time I'm here, I'm like a little more used to what I'm feeling right now. Corey Connors, Intercontinental.
I'll throw out some other guys for this. It's funny because I was just looking on Fantasy National, fantasynational.com/mayo for 20% off. And I was looking at the number one strokes gain total players for the year. I just separated by the 2021 season, but I accidentally clicked 2017 at the same time. I was like, man, Ricky Fowler is still inside the top 10? Mm-hmm. I think if I unclick 2017, he might go away from that. He's like, he's in contention to be like face hardcore Holly for the hardcore 24/7 championship right now. Other mid-carders, I'd say Hoffman has had a like resurgence. He's sort of like we always call him like the king of the Golf Channel.
Yeah,
birdie.
Friday.
But maybe instead of the Intercontinental champion, who's the Golf Channel hero of the year? The Thursday, Friday.
Sam Burns. Real good run there.
Has Homa leveled up?
He got a win at a huge course that makes him like a Masters comp. So. there was someone else I was just staring at that I thought really needed some respect.
Griot, who's played shockingly well.
Not to the level, I think, of the guys we've currently been discussing. And I don't know whether this guy comes in too high. Maybe he's the Matt Fitzpatrick range with the Billy Horschel.
I'd say, yeah.
He's won the Intercontinental title.
I'd say he's like a Chris Jericho, where he could compete. Like you could put Billy Horschel on a pay-per-view. He has enough high finishes and wins throughout the course of his career.
He cuts a great promo.
Yeah. Like no one ever can, like, he's always in kind of the mix. Like, oh, we need to throw together, like, this pay-per-view is kind of lacking. We need to give it like some star power. And like, but like Chris Jericho was the king of the moral victory. He would never really win the big match, but it would never downgrade him in any sort of way, regardless if he lost to Austin or The Rock or Kane, that kind of thing. Horschel's in that tier. Like, he could fight for a cruiserweight title, then he could fight for the heavyweight championship. He's kind of malleable in that way.
Horschel, though, unlike Fitzpatrick, he could get a title shot because they do a pay-per-view a month on one of like the Great Balls of Fire, yeah, like shitty jabroni pay-per-view that's still 3 months out from the big tentpole SummerSlams Mania Rumble.
Yeah, we need to fill this card out somewhere. Yeah. Like Randy Orton's hurt.
It's like when Mark Henry would get like a little nibble versus Cena for a couple weeks.
Yeah, he has enough juice. Just enough juice, I think. And winning a WGC goes a long way.
Huge win. And it's funny, like he wins that WGC and you're like, wow, that's the biggest win of his career. No, it wasn't.
FedEx, he won the FedEx Cup title, yeah.
He's like, so, yeah.
I would throw Henley into this tier.
I don't think he's played well to the point of a Connors or a Billy,
well,
though.
I'm looking at it right now. Strokes gained total for the 2021 season. Here's your top 10. Actually, I'll give you a guess.
I'm thinking more results-based than stats-based.
I don't feel like Henley has been that. He just had another top 10 at the Heritage. Let's see. I mean, so far this season on the PGA Tour, the 2021 season, he has 1, 2, 3, 4 top tens, 3 top fives.
That's pretty good.
He has an 11th place finish. He's missed 2 cuts.
So then let me ask you then. Doesn't Kokrak should come ahead of Henley?
Yeah, he really should. I just keep forgetting about it. Yeah. In my mind, Jason Kokrak will always be that guy that I bet to win Valspar and couldn't get it up and down on 18 to beat Paul Casey. In my mind, that's just who he's always going to be. And his win seems lost to time. Because it was in that run where it was those prestigious no-cut events that was going on head-to-head with football.
So I don't know whether these should align themselves, but who are you like thinking we get? Who are you excited about maybe that hasn't shown anything in the first half to show something in the second half, or does that sort of tee into like our disappointment talk?
I think we should talk about the disappointments. The other three names, that I want to throw into that like mid-carder mix. I guess he won, but Matt Jones has had some nice runs.
Yeah, he'd be deep end. He's not mid-carder. Like he is.
Yeah, he's from the back of the pack.
He's from the back. So back of the pack performers. Yeah, Matt Jones. Who else? Martin Laird?
Yeah, Laird had, well, he had a win.
That par save might have been like one of the best.
That was so fucking
par
tilting.
Saves of the
that
year.
Was enough, that was in that run where I had all the guys who were like tied for the lead and couldn't close. Wolf just couldn't close. The guy I did want to throw into the mix of the mid-card guys as well is Brian Herman, who just kind of showed up and was playing really well again.
Yep.
Is there anyone else? Where does Siwoo Kim fit into any of this?
I'm not sure. He fits everywhere because he's been around a long time, but we just made an argument that maybe he belongs with those guys. I don't know.
But he picked up his third win already.
I'm here for it.
Harris English is the other one who kind of capitalized on all of his momentum. Henley still hasn't done it, but him and Henley were like looking side by side with the way that their stats were lining up and even the results that they were generating. And it was nice to see Harris English get the win at the TOC because it's always like the case you make for Ricky the year that Reed won the Masters, that at any other Masters, Fowler wins this. Yeah. Just Reed couldn't just be
never
stopped.
Never wilted it.
That Dustin shooting minus 30 or whatever it was, like English came second and played amazing.
Amazing. Match. Yeah, you almost felt you wanted it for him. And I think people were starting to see some, I saw him showing up on some betting cards at the Heritage. English will be a foreign player. We'll see it building back.
But even to throw it around, like these guys that we're talking about from this level last year would have been like Munoz and Griffin, like guys that really.
Okay, so I got one then.
Ortiz, for example.
Then this, we're not in disappointments, but, and I like the whole story, the Damon win feels, I know it was subfield or.
Yeah, everyone likes Damon.
So that whole great story and he gets his win and I mean, perfect. And, oh, the Campos.
Campos cocked it.
He cocked it. He was a full cock. Full cocking.
He continued to play well too. Let's talk disappointments though.
It's easy.
Well, there are.
And this might not be who you think. There are three, the other guy.
There are three in particular that I would look at. And it's all different levels of because, I mean, disappointment is always weighted against expectations. Like, we can call Rory the biggest disappointment on tour so far. But if you go and look at the numbers, where's Rory rank out here? Rory, amongst all PGA Tour players this year, is still 34th in strokes gained total. It's just versus where you expect Rory to be. Anytime that he's not.
See, I look at it differently. And again, I'm using as Rick updates the stats weekly for our fantasy league, I'm looking at the money. And Rory McIlroy's made $850,000. That's an insane disappointment.
And this is what he. And this, but here
for how much he's shown up to work this year, he doesn't make 800K.
Sure, but this season, now that's just from
Christmas on.
From Christmas on. So this season on tour, he was 8th at the U.S. Open. He was 5th at the Masters. He was 6th in WGC Mexico. Those are his three top 10s this year. Oh, sorry, he was 10th at API as well. 13th in Phoenix, 16th at the Farmers, 17th at the Zozo, 22nd at the CJ Cup. He has three missed cuts, and he had two in a row at the Players and Masters. So, like, recently it's been really bad. But it's funny because he still seems like he's lingering around from tournament to tournament. He's pulling a Fleetwood, essentially, and playing, like, three good rounds, one really horrendous round, and taking himself out of it. But I'd say that Fleetwood, Fowler, and I want to throw it back to Doc Redman, who it feels like he had expectations coming into the year for the first time, and he's been really bad.
Yeah, again, I keep referencing it, but the work Rick does in updating every week is actually, in talking disappointments, it's easy to go, you can't be a disappointment on the season if you weren't drafted in our league.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I drafted Justin Suh when I meant to draft Doug Gibb.
So, like, to everyone you just said, Ricky Fowler, no one comes close to being as bad as Ricky in terms of a top four-round pick made by Matthew Wiley. He's made $300,000. Doc Redman, though, is far and away the worst performer in the entire pool as a fifth-round pick from Rick, making $55,000, sandwiched between Zalatoris in the fourth and Spieth in the sixth. I'm not saying that, like, I'm, like, obviously there was hype for Doc, like, he went ahead of a lot of good golfers.
Yeah, he's that guy in the fantasy league, regardless of the sport, that everyone was kind of being like, oh no, Doc Redman's a sleeper coming in.
Yeah, everyone.
I need to reach.
And you have to
rounds.
Overdraft him to get him. For me,
everyone kind of wanted him.
For me, unfortunately, it is Fleetwood. The Ricky struggles like we were seeing. Like, coming into the year, maybe it's worse than you thought it was, but I don't think anyone could be shocked with the way we were going, like coming into the season, Pat. So Tommy Fleetwood, for him not to have performed at like very, like any of the Florida courses, and I don't know, I was really disappointed. He made it, I think he won his pot at match play, and then he.
Because he had the hole in one in the
and
playoff.
And then he gas canned a bit, like he completely handed Horschel a match. Like, in if you could picture in your head, I wonder how Fleetwood would blow this multi-stroke lead with just a few holes to play. It's exactly how it went down.
Yanked right off the tee. Horrible recovery shot. Missed a 3-foot putt.
So, and he's one of those players that doesn't have that overriding amazing skill. It's really like a pretty consistent flow, like a lesser skill set of a Xander. Like,
now, I would say that when he was running...
Irons, right?
Was the Irons. Yeah. Like, he was running how... On a less consistent Zalatoris, basis.
Zalatoris, what are you saying?
No, that when... I mean, when he was challenging at U.S. Open, and when Fleetwood ran good for those 2 years, like, his driving was really good, but not, like, Bryson.
His irons were insane.
But his irons were insane. It was a lot like he kind of did it like Morikawa does it.
Honestly, Pat.
And then the putter came along. Like every time he got a hot putter, he'd be like, holy shit, here we go.
Yeah, here he goes. Honestly, I say this, I'm not even kidding. When Fleetwood was running pure, like I would like go through his holes and yeah, very Morikawa, like everything. Everything. So yeah, I'm real disappointed. For me, that is my biggest disappointment. I believed that. Rory, I was far more, I had an expectation that Ricky could really struggle. I'm very surprised at Fleetwood struggles. Fleetwood even issued like a Christmas time apology letter, Pat, to his fans. So me.
You know who else has been really disappointing? He doesn't really play all that often. Adam Scott.
Yeah, well, he might have come up in a guy maybe you think could show some life.
Him and Day?
Those were two guys, like, if you had to pick, because Adam Scott's also funny in the sense that he literally commented, and this, that only like 10 of these events actually matter. And how many of those have we even played? The Masters, the Players? Like,
I'm just trying to find the guys down WGC. On the list. There's a bunch of them. So I'm going to give you a list of guys, and who do you think ends up turning it around to not maybe where they were at certain points of their career, because all these guys were really good at one point of their career. But who could potentially turn it around at this point and get it back going? Jason Day, Adam Scott, Bubba Watson, Justin Rose, Sergio Garcia, Mark Leishman, Francesco Molinari, Henrik Stenson. I'll throw Gary Woodland into that mix.
See, that's a great question, because what's funny is in a lot of the content I did to the Masters, Pat, I created this own conversation of saying...
You created your own truth?
No, I created a conversation, and I, you know, in hindsight was wrong about, which I acknowledge, but it was like, okay, these are these guys, these six players, and there were six in particular, no particular, because they'd all either won the Masters or come in second at the Masters. And it was Sergio, Rose, Day, Louis, Scott, and Bubba. And in terms of going into the Masters, if I had to rank them in terms of me wanting to bet them or do anything with them, and yeah, you could say I have a bias against Rose, Rose would have been my 6 of 6. Like, he'd have been the last guy, I think, Masters week, if I ranked those guys to, like, do something amazing.
Yeah, I bet one of those guys, and I bet on Bubba, who, and for a very brief moment on Friday when we were doing the Cut Sweat show, it seemed like he was going to go on a run, and he dunked it in the water 3 straight days on 15.
But to your list, you want to make me pick one. You ended some names at the back there. Leishman, who else did you say?
Late? Molinari and Woodland.
Okay, Woodland I'm hoping for, because we're hoping for something big to pop. But for me, Pat, of all those guys, the most impressive metrics statistically are some of the Jason Day tee to green metrics. Of all those guys.
Yeah, you're really picking and choosing the tee to green metrics with Day, because like for 2 of the weeks, they were amazing. But the rest of the weeks, they're not good.
Okay, that is fair. I don't know, though. I would say, making me pick Jason Day.
I think I'd say Bubba. And realistically, the one who's won on tour this year is Sergio. And yeah, like once every 3 weeks, he's the best guy tee to green in the field. And then the next 2 weeks, he's completely lost. And he's putting with his eyes closed. If I had to tell you right now for the 2021 season, and this is just going to be for weighted events, so obviously like the Masters doesn't get included in this, the top 10 players on the PGA Tour right now for the 2021 season in strokes gained total, who are they?
Strokes gained total.
So all tee to green.
Justin Rahm. I guess Justin Thomas and John Rahm.
2 and 3 on that list.
Yeah. Will Zalatoris?
No.
Interesting.
Where is Zalatoris? For whatever reason, he's not showing up with this.
Is that because he doesn't get FedEx Cup points?
Yes. So, yeah, he probably would be, actually. And he's also like top 10 in a few events that don't have weight to them either.
Paul Casey?
Paul Casey is not on the list.
Sergio Garcia?
No, Sergio's like 67th.
Now I'm feeling stupid. Jordan Spieth?
Where is Spieth? Do I have this sorted the right way? Spieth is 20th.
I'm just guessing wrong a lot. Daniel Berger?
Daniel Berger is 13th. Xander is number one. Of Xander, course he is. Rom, Thomas, your guy, number four.
Finau,
number yeah. four. Corey Connors, number five.
Not surprised.
Bryson, Webb, Cam Smith, Hovland, and Neiman are the top 10.
Okay, I just want to say something. I love Corey Connors. I'm Canadian. Do you know how many people are telling me about their Corey Connors PGA Championship futures? And I don't want to be mean because I'm not going to say your 100-to-1 bet has like no chance because that's like ridiculous. Like it doesn't take a brainiac to say, oh, that guy you bet at 100-to-1 or even if it was 40-to-1 probably isn't going to win the golf tournament. But I could tell you exactly how it's going to play out. Like,
now, I hope this doesn't happen for him, but when you look at his numbers and you look at his stats and even the results that he's churning out right now, do you know who he might be?
Tony Finau?
I was going to say, remember when Luke List was good for like 18 months?
No.
List was top 10-ing everywhere. He top 10-ed at majors, just like Connors is doing.
That Belrive PGA.
And at least List could chip.
I don't know, man. No, I think the ceiling there, the sentiment around Connors, I don't know, Luke List had people thought pretty highly about that ceiling cashing, actually.
Well, when you looked at his numbers and rated him out, he was fucking Dustin Johnson, except for the putting.
Isn't he more like Ben Ann?
Benny Ann's like one of the best short game players on tour, though.
Okay, so I'll take that.
Maybe Griot is a good comp for him. A better Griot. And Griot is actually 11th on the or 12th on this list. One spot behind Patrick Reed, one spot ahead of Daniel Berger. Griot's been like sneaky good.
Yeah, but it's like the same.
It's the same story, but it's the same story with Connors every single time, too. Here are the past results for Emiliano Griot. Second, sixth, missed cut, 21st, 11th, missed cut, 22nd. It's pretty good. And they're not all the Puerto Rico Open.
Here's the thing. There's a lot of guys, to your point, I think we even discussed this at the Masters, and Connors had a great Masters, so if you bet him or rostered him,
top 10, you won a lot of money.
You had a bit of fun with it. But I do think there are players that are doing very similar things to what Corey Connors is doing, but not getting the odds drop that Connors is getting. And you mentioned Griot going into the Masters. I think I mentioned Wallace a ton. Like, statistically, like, there's a lot of similar things happening with other guys who aren't but Connors has become like this very popular player in the community. And it's
which
great.
He should
and it's a sense
great.
Of pride as a Canadian that we see that flag showing up on a leaderboard.
I think I got him in the second to last round in our draft. So I'm feeling good about that. Here are his results in just this calendar year. He played Farmers 37th. 17th in Phoenix, missed the cut at Genesis. It was like, all right. Then we didn't see Corey Connors for a while. He came back at API 3rd, 7th at the Players, 14th at Valero, 8th at the Masters, 4th at the Heritage. It's a nice run.
I don't know when you're releasing this.
Probably 2 weeks.
So we'll see. I'm going to test you and we'll see how right you were. Corey Connors pre-tournament odds at the Valspar.
Oh, at the Valspar.
Which is going...
This will be out after the Valspar. Like, so he may have won by the time that you're listening to this.
Yeah, like 22-1.
He
was 30 at
I don't know who's
Heritage.
In the field. I doubt
it won't be as strong as Heritage. And he was 30-1 at Heritage, and you have to assume it won't be as strong.
22-1?
Yeah.
Well, this is the range that I want to put him in. And there's a name that I have on the periphery here that I think should be included with these guys. But the biggest comp I can find with like results based, how people perceive them, how much they like to bet on them, Connor's an answer. Feel
I'm
very
sucker
similar to
for
me.
Answer.
But
I
answer
am,
does a lot of the yeah. exact same things that Connor's does.
I agree, and they both. I think they. I mean, just recently they played the Heritage, going off at identical numbers, like 30, 33. Yeah, a lot of similar things.
I would throw Matt Wallace into that mix too, with those two guys. I feel like Matt Wallace is just as much of a player as these guys.
I'm a big Matt Wallace fan. I think he was my last round pick, so I'm cashing in on some of those nice finishes he's having right now. I'm a big Matt Wallace fan. I don't know why. I'm crazy to think, maybe it's just the hype around the player, that answer ceiling. Equal.
Yeah, I think that they're pretty equal. And Wallace is kind of the same way. Like, so 1 week he'll lead tee to green. Wallace and Fitzpatrick.
If answer was American, like, it's just different. Like, it's just like, it's like, would it change? Like, would we think less of him?
I don't think so.
He'd just be like another one in like so many great American golfers.
I think that's a nice President's Cup pairing, by the way. Answer and Connors. That's a team that should have played the Zurich together. Similar skill sets.
It's nice that when they talk about broadcasts and Immelman's the coach, it's like they talk about Connors like, no, it's like a stone dead lock that he plays. And as it should be at this moment in time.
I don't know when the next time that we get really tiny greens is.
Valspar.
I don't know what the green complexes are there in terms of size. Like Pebbles, the smallest. Heritage is super small. All Maverick McNeely
courses. I was thinking about that. This guy just can go play. Where else? What does he do the rest of the time?
Misses like, the cut? Seriously. Like, he's like god awful the rest of the time. He has some nice runs. Some weeks, like his putting is like Denny McCarthy-esque every 3 weeks. Will Denny McCarthy ever win on tour?
I don't know how to. I don't know. I mean, he does something amazing. And as we've sort of spoken about with the other guys, having one super, super, super elite skill set probably helps you lead to a win. You just see, can he do like tour? Well, tour median driving is probably asking a lot, but
his path to victory is a Kevin Na path to victory.
Yeah, Kevin Streelman, like an eclipse.
Yeah, but I just don't think his irons ever get that hot. Like, he's just not good enough with his irons.
So then. Okay, so you need like three of them to like 5 feet and you hit those, but then you got to like chip one in, you make a couple, a 20 footer, and there's like a Mackenzie Hughes bomb thrown in there.
I would say that his most likely path to victory is like we saw Brian Gay with his win. Yeah. There's another old man who got a win this year.
Oh man, they're doing it on the radio. Like guys with the wand post their 600th start on tour. So it's like nine guys. Sink got added to the list.
Well, I was listening to the radio broadcast of the Heritage, and Dennis Paulson was really comparing himself to Stuart Sink. It was kind of funny.
I might have heard that spot.
Because Stuart Sink kept putting from off the green instead of chipping. And he's like, I would never putt from here. He's like, I would feel too uncomfortable with it. I'd have to chip. Maybe me and Stuart should go play like a money game, and he has to chip and I have to putt, and we'll see who's closer. He's like, I think I'll thank Stuart Sink, the guy who just came 12th at the Masters.
That must have been on like a Thursday, because I don't think Paulson was like,
no, it was on Sunday. There was nothing to talk about on Sunday because Sink was running away with it.
Yeah. They try. Credit to the broadcast. Oh, they really try.
There's nothing you can do.
No, but they try to make it feel closer than it is. Like, they try really hard to make you think that who was on the 50, who really needed it? It was a par 5. I don't know. They didn't get it. They were done. I don't know. They really make you think like, oh, he needs this and he's going to birdie out.
And then they don't. Yeah. They need to birdie out on like the three hardest holes. Think of it as Griot. I don't know. If it was anyone.
Might have been Griot.
Yeah.
Griot also very caught. Like, you know, it's just going to end the same way. I'm surprised even the broadcast jokes. Like, the second Griot misses like a 6-footer he feels he should make, he's going to give the hole the finger, and then it's all over from there.
Well, I thought it was funny because sometimes I like to look back at like crossover leaderboards. It was interesting to me that Sink and Griot came 1-2 at the Heritage. Sink won Safeway earlier this year. Griot also a winner at Safeway in his first ever career start.
Griot also might have like a Louis Oosthuizen Open Championship type win. I'm not saying like,
like it just like works for him that
like,
week.
Yeah, like they're very like such an immaculate like player.
He's like, you know what? Connors, Griot is a part of that crew. Like if they putt, like they're legit to win, but none of them ever putt.
I guess, but would you rather have that crew or like Steele and Keegan?
I think that they're the older version of these players.
Yes. They're the more they're
and they have wins. They so have
made big wins in the case of Keegan. Keegan had a FedEx and a major.
Oh yeah, I forgot he won that random.
Greg came out of nowhere. Yeah, I think one. I'm trying to remember who tipped it, but someone had it. Certainly wasn't me.
Yeah, it was not me either.
Betting Keegan Bradley win golf tournaments
in the playoffs. All right, let's talk about the awards then. Player of the year, I think it's Bryson, is the player of the year to this point. We'll see if that ends up holding
up. I know I'm going to break your own rules, but what if you did do like a post-Christmas? It's so hard because that's how I was like, there's like a six-way tie.
Do you need to have won a major in order to win Player of the Year, I guess, would be my
Rory question. Didn't.
I guess he won the
Player. He just won Player of the Year.
But you have probably...
He won the FedEx Cup. He won, like, Hamilton. He won the players.
Yeah, so he won Eastlake, the Players, and Hamilton.
Maybe something else that we're not talking about, but he won. And
all
then
all short Bermuda 70.
And I remember it became, if it was a players vote, they were like, no, people just like Rory. The players like Rory more than Brooks. So it wasn't even a debate. I don't know.
I would say that the two, it's funny because we went over like the strokes gain stuff. The two guys that have played the most consistent, the most in contention week after week are Xander and Rom. And they're not even consideration for this.
No, you can't.
So Bryson, Spieth?
Yes, but then it's like he won Valero.
Yeah, but he contended at every tournament.
Contends every tournament in the match. I agree. I'm just being the negative. He was one of my first guys that I thought of.
The other guys to think about, if we're just talking about this year specifically.
Then it's Spieth. If we're talking about Christmas on, I honestly think it's got to be Spieth,
I think it's Bryson. Bryson won API, and he was, what, second at the Players?
Was he second at the Players?
Yeah, he made
that. Then I'm giving it to Bryson.
He made that.
So I'll piggyback. I really didn't know. Player of the Year was really hard. And Rookie of the Year is Will Zalatoris.
Does he even qualify for Rookie of the Year?
I don't know how it works.
He doesn't have membership.
I don't know how it works.
Who else would be in there? Cam Smith has had a really nice run. Connors has had a really nice run. Fitzpatrick has had a really nice run. Westwood's had a really nice run.
Yeah,
what a nice Homa and Burns.
Kokrak. A lot of guys have been playing really well. I guess here's a fun question.
And let's not overlook Morikawa either. Like, I know he didn't win Heritage, but I think he was fifth. I think he was third at Tournament of Champions. He won a WGC.
Yeah.
That's a pretty nice there. Run,
he too. Gets another win. He's like maybe the favorite.
Yeah.
What are you expecting from Hideki the rest of the year? Or sorry, that's not even a question. Does Hideki win again this calendar year?
I don't think so. Do you?
I'm going to say, yeah. I'm going to say, yeah, just total freaking glow.
Hideki slam? Wins all four?
No, but you get to any of the, like, U.S. Opens and PGA champs always rate well for him because how difficult they are and how the ball striking, you know, can be there for him. Honestly, it's almost like to think of, like, baby swag, but, like, I'm going to call it major swag. Like, he's going to have Hideki Matsuyama getting to play golf with this afterglow, I honestly think it's going to be the complete opposite of Sergio Garcia.
Where he like advances his career from here and not like, all right, I did it. Let's chill.
Yeah, like, and credit to Sergio, like, because he was farther along in his career.
Yeah,
and
he was in his mid-30s.
And like, at least, like, listen, the Japanese media was definitely hard on Hideki, but from a worldwide media thing, we weren't, like, major weeks looking to pick on Hideki at press conference weeks. Remember, even Sergio gave the middle finger, like, I stopped fucking caring. Like, didn't that literally happen?
Yeah.
So he had to, like, get to a complete rock bottom. Hideki never really got there, or if he did, no one asked him.
Yeah, no one knew he had a kid.
Yeah, because I guess there's a lot of things, but I believe like it's just yeah. I think it's gonna be a liftoff. I think we're gonna be in a nice, not like a Dustin Johnson liftoff. I'm not there.
No, but could he be? Could he go on a run like Webb just had?
I will. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, or Hatton for that example. Like Hatton's probably a pretty good comp because Hatton seems like he's losing it a little bit.
But then he always sucks you back in again with something.
Of course he does. But like the 18-month run that he just had between Europe and the States was pretty impressive. Like it got him up to like number 5 in the world rankings. It was that good. Like that's hard to do.
Hard to do. Hard to do.
Berger. Who do you think has a better rest of the year? Berger, Cantlay, or Matsuyama? Because we're getting to Berger winning time now, the middle of the summer.
I'm a pure Berger guy. I don't know. Thing is, because I always make the case that to me, Berger and Cantlay are far closer than odds ever give them credit for.
But they are now in terms
yes,
of odds.
Yes, I know. I like, even saw a PGA Championship.
Yeah, they're
I saw.
Both 33-1.
Yeah.
Somehow Rose is 40-1 at the PGA Championship. Might want to wait till the week of.
Okay.
Cameron Smith, 30-1.
I like that threesome you just named, but I think... If you ask me who wins the PGA, I'd like Cantlay or Berger before Hideki.
Did you see Spieth winning the PGA Championship?
Yes, but I'm not betting it.
I don't know if I wonder what his odds are.
22.
He's 14. Until he gets like the break again, and he will, because he'll get to these courses. Listen,
he's like the fact. I want to say he's gone to courses that I didn't think suited him in this run, and where it started at like Torrey Pines and played well. I do not think this venue suits him.
I actually think that it does suit him, based on I think we get. And if it plays anything like last time, because we get sucked in by Rory winning. So you think like, oh, Rory wins. I know the skill set that's going to do really well here. But then you look at the rest of the names on the leaderboard and they're not Rory types. No, they're Poulter and shit like that.
Yes, agreed. And to your point, you have to look at that leaderboard and look behind Rory. Rory is what happens when a top five player in the world plays his A game. That's going to happen. Top five player in the world plays his ceiling golf. Everyone is effed. But you got to look behind that and see, like, okay, how did the field actually play?
How did David Lynn do so well?
How did the field actually, like, play? Like, what should realistic expectations be?
And Spieth has played really well at a really, like, the year that Jason Day won at Whistling Straits. Spieth was second. Like, so these major venue Pete Dye courses, maybe they
do you think someone would take a bet, like, who wins next, Rory or Xander?
I think so. I would take Rory.
Yeah, me too.
That might be completely dead wrong. But yeah. It almost went back to the reason that I bet Spieth versus you against Finau a year and a half ago. It's if I think one of them is going to win, it's going to be Spieth.
Okay, so that's about Hideki. So what about Rory's next year? Like, do we get out of this?
Yeah, I don't even know if it happens this year. But when Rory gets one, he'll get three within 3 months. That's just the type of player that he is.
I hope it, like, but I could see it just happening, like, over, like, he just ends up winning the race to Dubai.
Yeah.
Having a horrible PGA year.
Or he goes, plays the BMW at Wentworth and wins.
And then goes in the Middle East and, like, wins three tournaments, and then we're all super excited. But I don't know. I don't want to pick on Rory. I love Rory. I'm not picking on Rory. I appreciate his honesty, even though some people.
Well, it's funny because he's honest, and then people shit on him for being honest. Like, there was a conversation that I saw. They asked Dustin Johnson, like, they were asking him about his driver and all this. Dustin's response was, I don't really know what it's called. I know that TaylorMade makes it. Like, people read so much into, they project themselves onto what they would be like as players. And they want you to say this, and you want you to say that. But Rory just, he actually says what he feels.
Yeah.
And then people, you know, no, you can't say that. Like, well, he's being honest. Would you prefer he not be honest with you?
I agree with you, although I do think some of the – there has been some debate as to how, like, genuine the chasing distance stuff was. Because hard to believe he would do that, but it is what it is. I'm here for Rory. I want to see the bounce back.
Best?
Spieth would get the triple crown. He'd get that grand slam.
Yeah. I think it's a good PGA Championship venue for him.
But it's 14-1.
Yeah. I don't want to bet it either, but I think that he's very –
Who would you rather bet? Him at 14 or like Xander at 18?
Spieth. 100%. I know he can win a major. Until the other guys do it, unless you're getting real odds, like if it's Xander at 40 or Spieth at 14, it's Xander 100% of the time.
Can they cross Xander past 20? Because he started to creep up again for the Masters. Like we even saw 27. He's a great Masters. Speaking to this, I'm sure, you know, he's on the power team at the Zurich. Who knows how good or bad they did, but he's probably like 18-1 to win the Masters or the PGA.
Xander is, where is Xander Schauffele? 14-1, actually. He's the same odds. But he is a victim. And we looked at those stats and he's number one in strokes gained total. And it's the same reason that Finau's at 33, so he's on a bit of a different level. But there's the same.
Like you can bet Patrick Reed, or you can bet Bryson DeChambeau.
So like the other guys at 33-1 right now with Tony Finau are Cantlay, Hovland, Webb, Berger, Zalatoris. Patrick Reed is deeper. Casey is deeper. Hatton is deeper. Fitzpatrick is deeper. M is deeper. It's just, you know that Tony's probably going to show up.
Yeah.
Probably not going to win, but he's always going to be there. And Xander's sort of like the upper echelon.
But I would rather, he's 14. I'd rather bet Bryson at 14.
I agree. He's also 14-1.
Yeah, that's what I, like, no. Like,
yeah, we're not picking a who doesn't come last competition.
Yeah. And I love Xander, but if you're I can't bet Xander at the same price you could give me Bryson.
I mean, I'll probably just end up betting Brooks again.
Sure. I don't, I mean.
Maybe he'll be okay by then. Who knows?
I don't know. But I guess hope, I don't know. Xander started to drift for the last major, and he came second place.
Best
third place.
Best tournament of the year / Sunday of the year.
Was it Riviera?
Hey, I'm throwing it out to
you. I think you remembered the Amex as being great.
Though that few weeks, Phoenix was probably the best because we hit a winner on that one. But that was just Han makes his run. Xander and Spieth will.
It's also Super Bowl Sunday, so I forget about it like in 4 minutes after it's over.
And then Brooks chips in on 17, and that ends up being the difference. So that was a really good one. I felt like I got kicked in the nuts at Tournament of Champions. But Neiman made a big run there. Morikawa and Berger, who we both had, just wilted on Sunday. English ends up getting the win there. You know what was actually a sneaky fun one? Pebble. For being such a garbage tournament with a garbage field after Dustin withdrew, we got the names we wanted to see on Sunday, and it was close. And Berger ended up pulling it out for you. Lashley was in the mix, and he wilted. Matt McNeely made that run, and Spieth and Cantlay were both in it. Like, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah.
What else was good? No one...
The players.
Players was really good. Yeah, the players was really good.
With no one really wanted it. And then Tom was like, okay, you guys still hanging around. Who blew that? Who was there?
Westwood.
It was Burns or Connors, right?
Connors made a bit of a run early. Westwood didn't...
No, who is the leader, though?
Westwood. Westwood and Fitzpatrick were both right there. And then Bryson was amongst the... Was he in the final group or second to final group? And then Thomas couldn't make a putt on the front nine, remember?
And he got unconscious.
Yeah.
He did some, yeah.
What else was a good one? There's been a couple blowouts. Like, Honda was like, ugh. Heritage worse. Was, ugh. Match play is just not fun to watch, so throw that one out.
Even the one Spieth won was boring as shit, wasn't it?
Nah, it was okay. He had Wallace and Hoffman fighting for it, but it wasn't...
It really was boring. It was not entertaining.
Reed won by too much at the Farmers.
Too much.
Because Vic got himself into too much trouble, and that was the end of it. Genesis was good at Riviera with Homa and Finau. And it doesn't always just need to be a playoff. That's why I liked Amex. Like, three guys went after it to go win that
tournament. Doesn't have to be a playoff.
Sony was good, too, because Na ended up being... Remember, Steele was winning most of the day? It was Na, Steele, and someone else who I can't remember. I guess that doesn't make
Cam
it good.
Cam Smith?
Cam Smith.
No, it wasn't. He won the year before.
Shriners was really good too. The one that Laird won because it had Wolf and someone else coming down to the stretch.
So then the one that I already met, the one that Cantlay won because that was like Rahm and JT and Cantlay.
Yeah, that was a good one at Zozo. And Bubba was up there too. That was at Sherwood, right? Was that one?
Sherwood. What? That was the week before, though, the right before the Masters.
And the WGC November was actually pretty good too. The one that Morikawa won.
Well,
remember there was that par five that everyone just kept chipping over and then going down the other side?
That was the first Florida event. And every year it seems like we get to Florida for the first
time. And forget what happened.
And people are like, this is the best. I love Florida. Why are we here more? Why don't we play majors here? Why don't we do this? Well, we actually have the players here every year. And like everything's a bit of a gong show in Florida. That was fun, though. That was a fun first few days at concessions.
And even on Sunday, like Morikawa had to make the putts to win it. Like, he was playing.
Who came second?
Brooks came second.
Wow.
With, I think Horschel ended up coming second.
He was. Horschel, a lot of self talk.
Yeah, because he kept going like left and right. Remember, Cam Smith was winning that event by like a lot, and then he had a complete meltdown on Saturday. He put like three balls into the water on the same hole, and that was kind of the end of him. Who the hell? There was someone else who was firmly in the mix. Oh, yeah. Remember, Scheffler got into contention, then pulled a Scotty Scheffler. Like, oh, here's contender Scotty Scheffler.
Right into the water. Left water.
Hovland was second. Hovland, Brooks, and Horschel all came second. Then it was Scheffler, Rory, Webb, Reed, and Kokrak with Louis. Kevin Na, T11 at that event, too. And that was the beginning of the run for Matthew Fitzpatrick.
So we've done this. About a year and a half ago, I made like a bold prediction that Paul Casey was going to catch a big fish.
And he did. He won the Omega Dubai Classic. There you go.
And he contend. He's been so close. He was close at that PGA Morikawa one. He was close at this year's Players Championship. I don't know, though, man. He just makes this like he makes this sideways face when he hits a weird shot, and it really starting to piss me off. But I can't quit him, and his stats are amazing.
Is he like the dad of Xander Schauffele and Tony Finau?
Like, is he going to be popular for Kiowa?
Probably.
With the cheeky
he's
Euro.
Popular every single time. I know. Because you look at the numbers, and then you look at his results. Like, hey, they're pretty good for the price.
Pretty good, pretty
and he's
good.
Perpetually $7,700 on DraftKings or 50-1 in the betting market. Like, what are his odds for the PGA Championship? Where's Paul Casey? Paul Casey is 45.
Okay, so this is my example. I was saying before, like the hype that Connors is getting. But I think there are other players that are doing a lot of the same things. And I mentioned Wallace before not getting the hype. The player that I actually was on this rant about for the week of the Masters was Siwoo Kim. And what are his PGA Championship odds compared to Connors? Because they're the fact that they're probably very similar, I'd rather have Siwoo Kim.
Siwoo Kim is 75-1. Corey Connors is
80.
50-1.
Now, I'll feel stupid because I did this whole rant before the Masters, and then Connors is like leading and making hole-in-ones despite Siwoo having a good 3 days. But no, they've done – Siwoo's contended. He contended – like Siwoo's contended a ton this year, and he's won.
Corey Connors has three wins on tour.
And a big event. And Corey Connors has just contended a lot. So that's the thing I didn't really – I was trying to think of it earlier when I was saying that guys are playing like Connors, but not getting the respect. Connors is getting so much more respect than so many guys who – I'm not trying to knock Connors. I'm saying there are a handful of guys that are doing very similar things. Kokrak probably too. No, maybe not. I don't want to – now I don't want to put myself – because Connors has been great. So I don't want to come off as –
But that's a bit of recency bias, too. Like, if we were to have this conversation 2 months ago, everyone just would have said, oh, Neiman.
Yes.
And now Neiman's 70-1 to win the PGA Championship, and Connors is 50. And granted, I think that, although their ball striking numbers are pretty similar, I don't know what bias I seem to have against Corey Connors. Drafted him on the team. I wrote him up in Golf Digest as my, like, player that's going to win you money this year. And if you've met him top 10, you've been winning.
I just think
that Neiman's a better player.
Winning.
Yeah.
But I like Corey a lot.
But he's the same number as Sungjae.
Sorry, man. Like, great. If you got 125, if you got an 80, it's nice. You got a nice number.
You beat the book. Kokrak, for example, 125-1.
He does those courses pretty good.
They actually play well at similar tracks.
But the ask seems equally large, but you're getting over double the number with Kokrak.
Exactly, yeah. Like I would weight them probably the same chance of winning.
And to your other point, like talking about that Xander odd at 14, if you are betting like a chalk at PGA right now, like the books are like, no, here, we've got like eight guys under 18. You pick them. Like we're not giving you anything if you need that PGA Kiowa crack right now, which is soon.
Yeah, and we're not going to see Dustin before the PGA Championship, and he's 12-1. Do you think that number gets better or worse?
Stays the same.
Do we get a Dustin at 14?
No. The question is Dustin the favorite? I think that's more like, who is going to be the favorite?
If one of these guys, if Justin Thomas wins Quail Hollow or Rory wins Quail Hollow, they're the favorite. And they're both probably going to play that event, I would guess. Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I guess that was Rory's big breakout win. So he tends to go back. Maybe Ricky can get it back going. He's won there.
What are his odds?
Is he in the PGA Championship?
Everyone's in it.
Are you sure?
Come on. He's in it.
Oh, 125-1.
It'll be higher.
He has the same betting odds as Max Homa right now. And I would much rather have
I'm
Max
actually
Homa.
Shot. Oh, never mind. I was going to. It'd be dated for me to say it.
What about someone like Wiesberger at the PGA Championship? He's competed at a PGA Championship. He was in the final group at the PGA Championship. Did not work out well for him. Yeah. But he like kind of in it at the Masters.
Yeah. Some nice runs. I like burned. Gets scorching hot.
All right. Anything else you want to add for our... So Bryson, player of the year?
I guess so, yeah.
He had the best moment of the year with the point and going for it. That is actually the most memorable thing that happened.
Of course. In closing, this is an important closing. When is the first time Tiger lets us see him?
Like plays or sees?
Just shows up where we can see him. I don't even know if he puts out his own video. But like when, or I don't know what event, it's not his event. I don't know that he'd show up at Memorial to drink a milkshake.
That was the first thing that popped in my mind was Memorial.
It was just show up there?
Yeah, and maybe him, if he's feel like, I don't know where his recovery is at with any of this stuff, but... It wouldn't surprise me, especially because he has these injuries, that maybe...
Booth.
No. If he wants to be around the game and still be an ambassador, maybe he shows up with Jack at Memorial and goes through this stuff. And then maybe at Riviera the next year, you have Tiger in the booth kind of thing, like Jack does at Memorial. I could see that being a path for him if he doesn't feel like he's up, if he doesn't feel like he's years away from playing again. And he might be. I don't know. If not, like, where would he show up? Like, the Masters would be logically next year, the one that I would think of. Maybe he shows up to Ryder Cup? Does he have anything to do with that? Is he the captain? No, he's not the captain.
No, but maybe if he's healthy enough, Stricker may have said, listen, if you want it, there's like an open vice because you're freaking Tiger Woods. And there's a golf cart.
Yeah.
They're tricking out for you. If you just show up, it'll be there.
You know, surprisingly, having a really nice 2021 and just, it's weird that he's so off the radar, is Phil. Feels like
he had a nice Masters.
He had a nice run up before that too. Like,
did he? Didn't like a couple Honda Valero? Was he showing up?
He was showing up and striking the shit out of the ball. Couldn't putt.
Making huge numbers, but I guess that's part of the game.
But it's also, when has Phil? I mean, Phil won the Players once, but when is he ever really good in Florida?
Never.
He came 25th at Honda, 35th at the Players.
He used to take
He's fucking 51. No, I thought that he's been pretty good. I've been surprised. I think he could have a win still in him. He's still, I don't know if he's as consistent as Stewart Cink is right now, but I feel like Phil could have one of those Davis Love wins.
If he wants to play the schedule that he's kind of been leaning closer to playing.
Yeah, Honda, Valero. Like, he could win a Houston Open in the fall or something like that.
I was
going
to say, does he want to show up where Brian Gay won? Then, yeah, Phil Mickelson can win again.
He could win the Wyndham.
Yeah.
He could win
Davis
the Green.
Love won it.
I don't think the Greenbrier's on the schedule anymore. But
like, he's got a house there.
Everyone has a house at the Greenbrier. Was it like a tax shelter or something?
I don't know.
Anyway, that was our half year in review. I hope people enjoyed it. We had to put some shows in the bank while I'm currently moving. Jeff Feinberg, follow him on Twitter at GFeinberg17. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Check out some of the other bank shows that I have going on and become a member at FantasyNational.com right now, FantasyNational.com/mail to get yourself 20% off. Smash the like to the episode. Leave your player of the year by whatever metrics you want to judge that by in the comment section. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the Pat Mayo Experience Audio Podcast. All right? Thank you all for watching. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.
Pat Mayo Experience! Experience!